The curtain rises and a chorus of Hebrew slaves sings softly of their lost homeland, their voices swelling into longing that seems to transcend the stage itself. Vop and Ciro, they sing, fly, thought, on golden wings. In the audience, tears fall and whispers spread. This is not only drama, it is the voice of a people yearning for freedom. And in the Italy of the 19th century, it is heard as prophecy. The composer who gave them this voice is Giuseppe Verdi, the man who turned opera from aristocratic entertainment into the heartbeat of a nation. Verdi was born in 1813 in La Roncole, a small village in Parma. His parents were innkeepers, modest folk. Unlike Mozart or Mendelssohn, his childhood was not gilded, but he showed early musical ability, and a local patron provided him with a spinet and lessons. By his teens, Verdi was organist in the nearby town of Busseto, supported by Antonio Baresi, a merchant who recognized his genius and became his lifelong benefactor. Baresi would also become family. Verdi married his daughter Margherita. Verdi's early ambition was to study at the Milan Conservatory, but he was rejected. Too old, they said, and lacking formal technique. He persevered, studying privately, attending operas, absorbing the world of Milan's La Scala. In 1839, his first opera, Oberto, was performed there, modestly successful. But soon tragedy struck. Within 2 years, Verdi lost both his children and his wife Margherita. He was devastated, nearly abandoned music. His next opera, a comic work, failed disastrously, and he told friends he was finished. Yet out of despair came rebirth. In 1842, La Scala premiered Nabucco, Verdi's opera about the Babylonian exile of the Jews. Its famous chorus of the Hebrew slaves, Va Pensiero, was immediately heard as an allegory for Italy's longing for unity and freedom under foreign rule. Audiences demanded encores. The opera made Verdi a national hero. From then on, he would be linked with the Risorgimento, the movement for Italian unification. The cry of Viva Verdi became a coded slogan. Viva Vittorio Emanuele, read Italia. Verdi the composer became Verdi the symbol. The 1840s were his galley years, as he later called them. He wrote operas relentlessly, one after another, often under pressure, often in ill health. Yet even in these years, masterpieces emerged: Ernani, Macbeth, Louisa Miller. His music was direct, emotional, aimed not at aristocratic refinement, but at popular passion. He wrote for the stage as theater, drama of flesh and blood. His characters lived, loved, betrayed, died, and always the chorus played a central role, a people's voice, collective, powerful. By the 1850s, Verdi had matured into a master dramatist. Rigoletto, 1851, broke conventions with its tragic hunchback jester, his curse, his love for his daughter, and her sacrifice. The aria, La Donna Immobile, sung by the lecherous Duke, became instantly famous, whistled in streets even before the premiere ended. Il Trovatore, 1853, followed with its gypsy vengeance and famous anvil chorus. Then came La Traviata, 1853, a tragedy of a courtesan, Violetta, who loves, renounces, and dies. Initially rejected by audiences for its scandalous subject, it became one of the most beloved operas ever written. Verdi showed that opera could portray not only kings and myths, but contemporary, intimate, human lives. In the 1860s, Verdi turned increasingly to international commissions. Don Carlos for Paris, grand in scale, exploring freedom and oppression, love and duty. He revised older works, honing them. Yet he also withdrew at times to his estate at Sant'Agata, where he farmed, read Shakespeare, lived simply. He was wealthy now, admired, but remained connected to the land, to ordinary Italians. In 1871, to honor the opening of the Suez Canal, Verdi composed Aida, premiered in Cairo. Though set in ancient Egypt, its story of love, loyalty, and betrayal spoke universally. Its triumphal march, with blazing brass, became iconic. Yet beneath the spectacle, Verdi infused intimacy, psychology, human vulnerability. In his later years, many assumed Verdi was done. But at nearly 70, he turned to Shakespeare, his lifelong inspiration. With Otello, 1887, he astonished the world. Gone were the old operatic formulas. Here was continuous drama, orchestral richness, characters of Shakespearean depth. The storm scene that opens Otello is one of music's most electrifying moments. Verdi, in old age, had reinvented himself, writing an opera that sounded modern, uncompromising, fierce. And then, at 79, he wrote Falstaff, 1893, his final opera, a comedy based on Shakespeare's The Merry Wives of Windsor. Light, witty, sparkling, it proved that even in old age, Verdi could laugh, play, delight. Tutto nel mondo e burla, the final fugue declares, all the world's a jest. It was his farewell to the stage, his gift of joy. Verdi died in 1901 in Milan. His funeral was attended by thousands. Arturo Toscanini conducted the chorus of Va Pensiero as crowds wept. Verdi had become more than a composer. He was Italy's voice, its conscience, its unifier in art. His legacy is vast. He gave opera flesh and blood, made it the theater of people's passions, not just aristocratic display. His choruses embodied collective longing. His arias became universal songs. His dramas blended political resonance with intimate psychology. His music was accessible yet profound, direct yet sophisticated. What makes Verdi a giant is his humanity. He never lost touch with ordinary life, even as he reached artistic heights. He saw music not as ornament, but as voice, the voice of characters, of nations, of the human heart. His operas continue to move audiences because they speak to enduring truths: love, loss, freedom, sacrifice. Listen to Verdi and you hear the soul of Italy, but also the soul of humanity. In Rigoletto, in Traviata, in Aida, in Otello, you hear people struggling, hoping, suffering, rejoicing. You hear theater made music, music made life. Giuseppe Verdi remains the voice of the people, the man who gave song to freedom, and whose notes still soar across centuries. Produced by Selenius Media, music by The Artificial Laboratory.